The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you here on this Friday afternoon. Carter, it was a late night for us last night. We are here in the studio wrapping up the weekend. We had an exciting night on the road night for Chambers Academy and our Lee Scott Warriors that come up with a big victory last night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a game where in the previous four meetings, Chambers had outscored Lee Scott 126-17, and Lee Scott really flipped the script and dominated the game from really start to finish up front and looked faster, and it resulted in a 33-0 victory.
Well, we're going to talk about some high school football here in this first segment. Of course, tonight really kicks off high school football across the state of Alabama. We're going to talk about our game, Lee Scott, as they take down Chambers 33-0. We're going to preview Auburn High as they take on Hoover up in Montgomery at the Crampton Bowl. A big-time game tonight. We have some audio from Auburn High head coach, of course, Coach Etheridge. We have some audio from him and him previewing the game as well and going through some of the other games from around the country. We're going to talk about that. Don't you worry. We are going to talk about that scrimmage that's happening in just a little bit over at Auburn University, talking about this quarterback battle some more. Who is it going to be? Who takes that next step today in the scrimmage for Auburn University? We're going to talk about that as well. All that and more here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to us. We'd love to hear from you. Me, Carter, and Mackenzie over on the controls waiting on your phone call, so give her a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Well, Carter, we are 15 days away from Auburn football, but high school football has officially begun. We were on the road last night, Lee Scott taking on Chambers Academy in a game where last year Lee Scott got beat 41-3 against Chambers Academy. They go on the road last night. They dominate both sides of the football. It was a 33-0 victory for the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, it was surprising because maybe we had a feeling going in that Lee Scott came in feeling like underdogs, and they didn't play like it at all, because from the jump it was a total domination up front. The defense was getting penetration all game, making stops. The open field tackling, if you listened to the broadcast last night, was something we harped on again and again because it was just that good. I didn't see many missed tackles at all. And then on offense, Lee Scott just got the run game going and broke off some big ones for touchdowns, and that was really all she wrote for the whole game.
You had, what, an 80-yard touchdown run. You had about a 63-yard touchdown run last night for Lee Scott. The quarterback, he had a quarterback keeper for a touchdown on the run. So everything was on the ground for Lee Scott last night. They tried to go through the air a couple of times. Wasn't really successful. But then I think they realized, we don't have to go in through the air because we can ground and pound and get it done against Chambers.
Because it was a game that was against a triple option team in Chambers, whoever established the run the most was going to have success in that game. And Chambers just never really got anything going, and Lee Scott did. And Lee Scott really, they got up 12-0, and then we saw the power surge. And you and I talked about, well, is this going to be like that Super Bowl a couple years ago where the momentum shifts? And no, if anything, like, it went even more in Lee Scott's favor from that point on.
Are there any games that you are excited about tonight in high school football? We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. There are tons and tons of games going on across the state of Alabama tonight. There are some big-time matchups. Some games are already in the books. Again, Lee Scott, they, of course, because we have the Lee Scott Sports Network here from Auburn Network on AU100. That's 100.3 on your radio dial. So I wanted to mention that a little bit. Carter and I had our first game last night, and besides some of the technical difficulties with the power and everything else that happened, the rain did avoid us, so that was a big-time thing.
That was big.
And Lee Scott started off with a big victory on the road against Chambers Academy. Of course, Auburn High, they have one of the biggest games in the state tonight as they take on Hoover. Maybe not the powerhouse they used to be, but Hoover is still a legitimate opponent. Auburn High, of course, one of the best schools programs right now in the state of Alabama. Just your thoughts on this matchup tonight, Auburn and Hoover, just historically these two programs.
Well, I mean, like you said, Hoover may not be the Hoover that we were accustomed to for about a 20-year period there where they were the standard in Alabama high school football, but they're still a really, really good team. They're a really good program. New head coach this year. That'll be an adjustment for sure. You'll probably see that have some sort of impact in this opener. But it's still, like, the name Hoover, you still, like...
It still carries. Yeah, like, when you say Hoover, you think, oh, Hoover.
Yeah, and it's still the team that had their own television show on MTV. It's still the team that won all those state championships. And it's still... If you let it, it can be an intimidating team, like when you just say the name and then when you see those jerseys come out on the field. But Auburn High is a battle-tested group, played some big games last year, saw IMG Academy and competed against IMG Academy last year, almost, like, arguably should have won the game. And if you are going to compete against a team like that, then I think you're well positioned to handle the pressure of an opener against a big name like Hoover.
Well, speaking of Auburn High, on Tuesday we went to the Alabama High School Athletic Association Media Day. We got to hear Coach Etheridge from Auburn High talk and preview this upcoming game, preview what it means to be playing in Montgomery. Let's sit and listen to what he had to say on Tuesday. This is Coach Etheridge for Auburn High.
I'm going to echo these guys and thank the Alabama High School Athletic Association and Coach Briggs, Brandon Dean, for inviting us and allowing us to play in this game. It's you know, special for our kids, special for our communities. Thank our superintendent, Kristen Herron, our principal, Dr. Pignato, for allowing us to be here. You know, this is one of those games that you get to start off a season and get to see what you have because you're playing such a great team in Hoover with great players, great coaches, you know. They're historically one of the best teams in the state. When you talk about football in the state of Alabama, Hoover's one of the first names that comes up. So, you know, we get an opportunity to start the year off and play a great team like Hoover. And we want to play them twice this year. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be in there at the end too. So, you know, but we're super excited to be here and, you know, blessed. And, you know, I brought Mark Tolan, our defensive end, D.V. Williams, who is our running back, and Braden Joyner, who's the offensive tackle, and play some defensive line also.
Questions? Coach, they mentioned, I believe you mentioned that it was Josh who agreed to this game. So now you have a new coach. Does that change anything? I'm sure there's a lot of different
games. I mean, it's like Coach said, you know, Hoover's Hoover, you know, and Auburn's Auburn. We're gonna get together. Our kids are going to compete, and after the game, we're going to shake hands and, you know, wish each other the best, and, you know, hopefully everybody stays healthy and we move on to play region play, you know. This is a great game for our kids. You know, it's an exciting game. You know, we get an opportunity to showcase our kids on TV, and, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, we feel blessed that the Alabama High School Athletic Association asked us to be in this game. Yes.
So what's the feeling then on the practice field and in the locker room about starting the season with such a strong and tough 7A matchup?
Yeah, we want to play the best teams, and I know Hoover's the same way. We want to play against the best, you know, to show our strengths and our weaknesses. We want our kids to be showcased. You know, I've got a great coaching staff. You know, Will Wagner, offensive coordinator, does an amazing job. Coach Goosby, our defensive coordinator, does an amazing job. So we want our kids to be showcased, and I know that Hoover's in that same boat. You know, I'm good friends with the athletic director at Hoover, Andy Irvin. We started our careers together coaching at Irwin High School. So, you know, there's some history there, and, you know, it's a blessing to get coach against a team like Hoover.
Going through the offseason, getting ready for such a big game in Hoover, how does that change the practice throughout the offseason, getting ready for such a big game in Hoover?
It gives you that extra edge, you know, getting to start off with a team with that notoriety and has such so many great players. You know, you have to be attention, have such attention to detail because you You know, you just got to be perfect if you're going to play in those type of games. And you want to make sure that your kids are ready, and you want to make sure that you haven't missed anything to put them in a good situation where they have a chance to be in that game at the end.
Coach, I'm wondering, when Josh left, you obviously had one of the biggest jobs and the state was open, and you got them week one. What was going through your mind when Wade was hired, and what do you know about him as a coach?
I just know that Wade's one of the top coaches in the state of Alabama. You know, he's done a great job everywhere he's been. You know, and when Josh left, I knew they were going to hire a quality coach, you know, because, like I said, you know, I've known Andy for a long time, and he's going to go out and try to get the best. And you know, I had the expectation was to play against Hoover and play against one of the best teams in the state, and that changes nothing. You know, they just got another great coach, and Wade's going to do a great job at Hoover, and we're excited to play against him.
Coach, when you're putting in a game plan to play a team like Hoover, do you get a head start early into camp, or do you treat it like a regular game week and you start your prep on Monday to get ready to play Friday?
Of course, you're thinking about it in the back of your mind during the whole summer. You know, especially when we found out we were going to be playing, you know, in the kickoff classic. You know, we know that all eyes are going to be on us. But when you play, it just adds that extra, you know, emphasis on doing every little thing right. You know, so it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be great for our kids. It's going to be great for the city of Auburn, the city of Hoover. I expect it to be packed. I think it's going to be one of the premier games in the state on that night.
Last question I have for you. You just want to talk about line play in the trenches, both offensive and defensive line. Can you speak to some of the interior linemen that this state produces and how they stack up with some of the other states in this country?
I think it's one of the – if you look across the state of Alabama this year, I think it has some of the premier players in the nation. I really do. You know, I've been blessed to ask to be to coach in the Mississippi-Alabama game. And, you know, I've been watching film for the last 2 weeks on kids, and – you know, there's some stud guys in the trenches in the state of Alabama this year.
Thank you,
John.
Talk a little bit about being able to open up at Frank Bowl with your region being right here in the Montgomery area.
Yeah.
How much of a competitive advantage do you think that gives y'all being able to play at a venue that you know a little bit better than Hoover does?
Well, it's not really that much different as far as playing here, because I mean we're playing region games here. We play some region games here, and we understand the dynamics of, you know, where the locker room is, where the business, you know, we understand some of that. But you know, it's a little different because you're starting off as a non-region game. You're playing Hoover, you know, so it makes it a little bit different. But it's always good to come play in Montgomery, you know.
That was Coach Etheridge from Auburn High talking about the matchup against Hoover. That'll be tonight at 7 o'clock up in Montgomery. Some of the other games going on in the state tonight in high school football, there's some big, big matchups. I think that's probably one of the biggest ones. Thompson, of course, the powerhouse they are. They've got Buford tonight. That is at 5 o'clock. Not too sure why they're playing earlier than everybody else, but they are. They're playing at 5 o'clock. You've got some other big games going on. Hueytown, they're highly ranked. They are going to Ramsey tonight. Another major matchup tonight. Hewitt Trustful traveling to Central. We know those two massive programs. They play at 7 o'clock. Hewitt ranked eighth in the state right now. Central ranked at fourth. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Prattville, they host Foley. Some of the schools we are familiar with here in the Auburn-Opelika area. Just some major matchups tonight across high school football. It's that time of the year. It's exciting. There's some big names that go to big-time colleges. Of course, Auburn High, they have some Auburn University commits that'll be playing tonight and playing this season. So that's why it's important to keep up with these guys, because there's so much talent in the state of Alabama right now. You think it may be some of the most we've ever seen.
I mean, when you go back and look at it, this is, I think, one of the most talented state of Alabama classes in at least the last 20 years. I think you have to go back to the Julio Jones class to find a class that had this much top-end talent, but this class is deeper than that one. I mean, it's really an exciting year in Alabama high school football because there's so much talent just top to bottom. You can almost go anywhere in the state and find somebody who is going to play at the next level, and that's exciting when you get these games kicked off in this first week of high school football, because you finally get to see all these big-name players out on the field. Under the lights?
Pinson Valley traveling to Florence tonight. Again, that will be at 7 o'clock. Most of these games are at 7. That is the standard high school football kickoff time. Again, Hoover and Auburn playing in Montgomery. That is the second game. The first game was there last night. This will be the second game. Hartsell is hosting Austin. Again, just so many good games tonight. And what's cool about this is so many journalists get to go out and cover these games. Student mm-hmm. journalists and young journalists and so many across the state of Alabama covering high school football.
We got to see a couple at our game last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Justin Lee and Justin
and
Ferguson.
Yeah, the two Justin Lee and Ferguson were both at the Lee Scott Chambers game last night. But that's just a preview of what's going down across the state tonight in high school football. Again, Lee Scott, that's our gig. They won 33-0 at Chambers Academy last night. They get started on the right foot. Auburn High will play Hoover tonight in Montgomery, 7 o'clock over on Wings 94.3 on the Auburn High Sports Network. Scott Bagwell will have the call on the Auburn High Sports Network, Wings 94.3. Tune in at 6:30 at kickoff time. That is our sister station, Wings 94.3. Make sure you go and find that. Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton will be on the call on the Auburn High Sports Network. Let's take our first break here in hour number one. When we come back, question of the day. It's about the quarterback battle for Auburn. Don't you worry. We'll have more when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Question of the day here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. My friend, we are 15 days away from Auburn kicking off the season. There's a big, big scrimmage today about 3 o'clock, and the question on everybody's mind is who is going to be the starting quarterback for Auburn. But here's the question of the day to you, the listener, and to you, Carter. How long until we have a starter named for Auburn at the quarterback position? 334-321-1390. Give us a call and give us your opinion. How long until we have a starting quarterback named for Auburn?
Well, you know, we talked to Chris Gordy yesterday with Locked On SEC, and he said that by the time we talked to him a week from yesterday, Auburn would have a starter named. And with the reporting by Justin Hokanson today that this is truly starting to feel, today's scrimmage is starting to feel almost like a last gasp for Zach Calzada, I kind of feel like I can't disagree with Chris Gordy. Like, we might know by Tuesday of next week who's going to be the first guy to take snaps against Mercer. And man, I just, it's the as dramatic as it's feeling going into the scrimmage, where it's like do or die for Zach Calzada. I just didn't think a week and a half ago we'd be in this position, and yet here we are. I mean, it's hard to fathom in my head. But I'm gonna guess that maybe by Wednesday we know.
Yeah, my guess is about Monday or Tuesday. No later than Wednesday, I think. My guess is going to be Tuesday, just to kind of pick and put myself right in the middle, right? I think by Tuesday, we will have a starter named for Auburn at the quarterback position. I think tonight's or this afternoon's scrimmage is obviously super, super important. I think a starter will come out of this scrimmage. We may not know who it is, but I think coming out of the scrimmage today, Brian Harsin and this coaching staff will know exactly who the starter is going to be. And whether we know that or not at the end of today or tomorrow, I just don't think that's going to be the case. But I think by Tuesday of next week, we will have a starter for the Mercer game. And one thing that's super, super important that we have to remember is no matter who is named the starter for game one against Mercer, whether it is Zach Calzada, whether it is TJ Finley, or whether it's Robbie Ashford, just because they are named the starter for game one doesn't mean they are going to be the definite starter for all 8 or 9 games of the season, however many they play. That does not mean they're going to be the definite starter for every single game and things cannot change. We've talked about how the start of the season with two smaller opponents gives Auburn the opportunity to see and sort of let it play out and make the appropriate changes if they have to.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see how this plays out over the course of the season, just because I feel like having seen TJ in real game scenarios, and the coaches have too, I wonder how much leeway he gets when he gets out there. Like, if he goes out there and the first two or three drives against Mercer are just stagnant.
If TJ's the starter?
Yeah. If they don't move the ball, how quickly do you turn to Robbie Ashford? Or how quickly do you turn to Zach Calzada?
And I think whoever the starter is in the first game, they're at least going to get a half. Surely they would at least get the first half, unless it's just abysmal, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you just don't against somebody like Mercer, you should be able to move the ball with ease. But if your first three drives you haven't gotten a first down, just like how much leeway do you get? And then I was sitting here as you were talking, I was racking my brain. What do Brian Harsin and Eric Keesaw have to see today for Robbie Ashford to pull even with TJ Finley?
I mean, you got to see improvement in the passing game, right? I mean, that's the word that has been coming out of camp from Robbie Ashford. It's not about his athleticism. We know he's good there, and we know he can run the football. But the weakness that we've been hearing from and seeing with our own two eyes is his inability to throw accurately, consistently, like the other two guys have been able to do. So I think today you've got to be able to see Robbie Ashford run the offense and be able to throw the football on time, on target, and on the numbers. Because if you can't do that, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you can't be a starting quarterback in the SEC. It's just not going to happen. So if you're looking for something out of the quarterbacks, and I don't want to get into too much of our next segment, but if you're looking at the quarterbacks today, Robbie Ashford's got to be able to throw the football. That's got to be it. Zach Calzada has to be able to run the offense and know the playbook. TJ Finley, I think you got to be able to do both. And can he improve from last year to this year? Those are the things they're going to be looking for today.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be I feel like I'm truly on the edge of my seat over the course of today, just waiting to see what news comes out of this scrimmage. Because it feels like a monumental day in terms of what it means for the Auburn 2022 season. I feel like it determines how today could determine how you run your offense. Obviously, which guy is out there taking snaps, which I guess you're going to run more of a similar system if it's Finley or Calzada. But if it's Robbie Ashford, you got to think that there's going to be some mentality shift in how you attack defenses. It feels like a really, really big day in this preseason camp right now.
It 100% is a big day. 334-321-1390, that's the number to put you through to us. Question of the day, how long or when, what day will we have a starting quarterback name for Auburn? How long until we get the starter named for Auburn football? That's the question of the day. What do you think about it? 334-321-1390. What are you looking for out of the quarterbacks today? How long until we have a starter named? Will it be tonight? Will it be tomorrow? Will it be game one against Mercer? What do you think? 334-321-1390. You talk about how big tonight's scrimmage is for the quarterbacks, and in the next segment we're going to talk about how big it is for everybody else and some of the things we're looking for from some of the other position players. But when it comes to the quarterbacks, all eyes are going to be on them, all ears from the media coming out of the scrimmage when we're hearing from Keesaw, when we're hearing from Brian Harsin, is tell us about the quarterbacks. That's going to be the questions, right? Tell us about the quarterbacks. Who's the starter? How did TJ play? How did Zach play? How did Robbie play? Who ran the offense better? Who was more accurate? All of those are going to be the questions.
And then secondly, it'll probably be questions just about the health of the rest of the team.
Exactly.
And especially the offense.
Exactly. And so those are going to be questions that the coaches have to answer. It'll be interesting to hear how they answer them, how much information they give us coming out of this scrimmage, and how much they want to withhold until at least next week. Because the point that I've been trying to make is we've got to get a starter named for this football team right now. I mean, we are 15 days away. Tomorrow, we are 2 weeks away from Auburn starting the season, and you still don't have a starter named. Texas named their starter today. Nebraska named their starter today. It's time for Auburn to get this thing taken care of and name a starting quarterback. Look, tonight's huge. Tonight is big time, and not even tonight. It starts in 30, 45 minutes when the scrimmage gets underway. Then the press conferences from the coordinators. Brian Harsin, I believe, will speak tomorrow. How they answer the questions today and tomorrow, how much information they give us in the next couple of days, and then when we find out who the quarterback's going to be. That is all super, super important and on everybody's minds right now. Halfway through hour number one, stay tuned. We got a whole lot more Auburn football scrimmage conversation when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on this Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz and Carter Byrd with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, talking the Auburn football scrimmage this afternoon and how big the implications are on the quarterback battle. Let's head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on line one.
Jacob, Carter, how y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic,
doing right,
Terry.
Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Guys, let me ask y'all a question. If it is T.J. Finley, how short is the leash? Because he gets out there, gets Mercer, starts throwing, you know, missing receivers by 3 feet, and starts throwing it close, starts closer to the guy in the opposite uniform than our guy. Then we're going to find out he's the real T.J. Finley. He ain't improved a bit. He's giving me no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about that last segment. Because you've seen him out there in the orange and blue jersey already, I think that if, especially against a team like Mercer, that you athletically you are better at every single position on the offense than they are on defense, you should be able to move the ball pretty easily. And if you come out of the first three drives without a first down, I think that would be, I would start to have some worry, and I would start to have questions about when do you turn to that backup guy? And I think at that point, at least the conversation's being had on the sidelines, in my mind.
Well, let's be honest, Carter. They could run Tank Bigsby or the other guy. I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
Jarquez Hunter.
Run him up the middle and get a first down.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But, I mean, what I'm saying is if TJ can't complete some passes to get a first down in the first few drives.
Yeah, just look odd.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that if the struggles are there, you'll know it because you'll see it.
Yeah, and my thing, Terry, is I don't know. If no matter who the starter is, I've said this too, whether it's TJ, Zach, or Robbie, if you do name the starter and he does struggle, how long do you want to give him? I said possibly the first half. If it's really, really bad, it may be shorter than that. But if you're trying to get him to be your starter, you don't want to yank him after three or four drives because then his confidence is just through the floor.
Well, I sincerely believe before it's all said and done, T.J. Finley will be the third team quarterback.
Yeah,
I really believe we'll
see. Right now, it seems like he's the man. But I'm just tonight is going to be a big, big factor, no doubt.
That scares me, Jacob Carter. It really scares me a lot. T.J. Finley, the man. I mean, you try crossing the Pacific Ocean in a rowboat.
We'll have to see. I'm really, really curious to see if he has genuinely gotten better since last year. Because if he's the same T.J. Finley as last year, I'm with you, Terry. I'm very concerned. But if he has gotten better, I think he deserves at least a chance to show us if he has or not.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the theme of this week is, if T.J. Finley has truly improved and is showing signs that he can be the guy, I think he deserves the chance to prove it in game, and that's going to be what everybody's looking to see in that first game and potentially even that second game.
Okay, just in y'all's opinion, back to my original question, just Jacob and Carter's opinion, if he is the starter, there's a hook. How quick is it in your opinion? Or to go back to what you said, Jacob, he may get the whole first half.
I think they're going to get the first half unless it's just terrible. You know what I mean? Like, unless he's throwing a couple, whoever it is, unless he's throwing interceptions. Like Carter said, they can't pick up first downs without using Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter. If it's just really, really bad, maybe the first quarter. But I think the smart move would be to at least play the starter for the first half to see what he can do, to see how the offense looks, to try to get him a little confidence. And then if he does score some points, then put the backup in. Even if he doesn't score some points, then maybe put the backup in. But right. I just don't think if you name the starter for game one, pulling him after a couple of drives is the smart move.
Right. And Jake Hart, I'm kind of sick and tired of people bringing up Jason Campbell from 20 years ago. I mean, yeah, we all knew what Ronnie and Carnell could do. We all knew there was talent at wide receiver. But I'm sick and tired of the Jason Campbell stuff. I'm just tired of it. I mean, that's a different animal. he was surrounded by more superior talent than TJ Finley will be.
No, that's totally fair. I mean, I agree with you in terms of he had a really strong group of supporting cast players, and I do think that Jason, I would have been a little more willing to stick with Jason Campbell coming out of high school, because Jason Campbell is one of the more hyped up players. And I mean, he was a 5-star. TJ Finley was a 3-star coming out of high school, and I think that Jason Campbell, at least with who he was coming out of high school, you're maybe a little more willing to give that highly rated player a little more leeway.
Yeah, and even with Jason Campbell's struggles, you saw the potential. It's just that he got shook up by Dwight Freeney. Who didn't get shook up by Dwight Freeney?
Yeah, look, I mean, Jason Campbell, we know what he was, and look, you can compare and you can...
Years ago.
Yeah, exactly, you're 100% right. Terry, we got another caller, man, we got to get to him.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Terry.
Appreciate it.
That was Terry on line one. Let's head to line two, 334-321-1390. Welcome in, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Just curious, could it, like, maybe possibly, like, not until the Penn State game that we actually know, like, who's going to, like, take the snaps? The first two games are, I mean, they're basically just, like, we could figure out who's good at what, like, in a real game atmosphere, kind of like the preseason in the NFL, just to figure out who's going to get the majority of the snaps or be our starter. What do you guys think about that?
100%, Matthew. I think that's something Carter and I have talked about, not a ton, but a little bit, is, you know, before this quarterback battle really came about, we were a little upset about having two games that were not super exciting to start the season. But now that there is a quarterback battle, that gives Auburn two games to truly figure out who that starter is going to be. And that's why I think no matter who the starter is, in this Mercer game, I don't think we should buy in super, super much, because there are two games to figure out who the starter is going to be. But let me tell you this, Matthew, whoever starts against Penn State, that will be your quarterback for the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I feel like we've seen TJ. I mean, we paid attention to him when he was at LSU. He didn't do much. And then paid attention to him last year. Granted, he was hurt the two games that he played when Bo Nix was hurt. He injured his foot a little bit in the Iron Bowl and didn't play to his full potential against Houston. So I feel like we've seen what we're going to see from him. And I would just like Calzada or Robbie Ashford, but that's just my opinion. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, we appreciate the call.
Appreciate
that's Matthew
it.
Here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Look, I mean, we've talked about that before, where I think these first two games for Auburn are kind of a buffer a little bit for the Tigers to truly figure out who that starting quarterback is going to be. And that's a huge benefit for Auburn to have two games where have to worry about winning. You can just use those as buffers to try to figure out who your starter is going to be.
And we talked about that a little bit when we had Christian on the show on what was that, Wednesday? But where I would be concerned if you're changing up quarterbacks for the Penn State game, I think whoever is starting the Penn State game needs to at least have played the second half of San Jose State, because you need whoever that guy is to feel like he's in a little bit of a rhythm, like he's comfortable with the ones.
You want him
out
to play
there.
The whole second half of the San Jose State game,
at least, yes. But if you're having to make a change at the very end of San Jose State because it's a close game or something, and I don't want whoever the starter is for Penn State to not feel like he's in some sort of rhythm with the offense. That's what I would be concerned about.
100%. Let's head back to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Ty the Tiger, you're on line one. Welcome in.
War Eagle, guys.
War Eagle War to Eagle. You, brother. How are you?
Man, doing good on this Friday.
Friday, yes, sir.
I've heard some rumors that Calzada's got an arm injury, and that's really why TJ is taking all the first-string reps. Have y'all heard any substance to that? That, I mean, I know he had one in the offseason, but was supposedly good to go, but I've heard he's kind of re-aggravated something, and that's why he hadn't taken all the reps. But, again, just, you know, you hear a lot of things, so, I just wondering if y'all have heard that.
Nothing on our end, Ty the Tiger. That's not something that we've really heard of or have anything to say about. I don't know anything about it, so I don't want to speculate on anything. So injury-wise, I'm not too sure.
And the second thing is, you know, I've heard people say, you know, well, we ought to just play, you know, if TJ's going to be it, we ought to just play Robbie to go ahead and get ready for next season. But, you know, guys, I mean, I think all of us close to the program or follow it close, we know, you know, Harsin don't have a giveaway season. He don't have a season to get somebody ready. Like, he has to win now.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, I think the guy who is going to give us the best chance to win is going to play the game. And I do agree with that last comment on the last caller. If whoever is your starter at Penn State is going to be, you know, who we roll with and who our starter is. I'm curious to see if we don't name a starter, but, you know, right before the game, and even then, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see all three play versus Mercer. You know, maybe it goes in quarters or more than just a couple drives and stuff like that. You know, but I mean, you know, and again, guys, you know, last year we talk about TJ and he couldn't do this and that. We also got to remember TJ was back there running for his life. You know, I mean, a lot of times so was Bo Nix. I, if we're going to talk about the quarterback and what he did last year, we really got to talk about the offensive line and if they gotten better. Not just has TJ gotten better, has the offensive line got better to protect TJ, to give the man some time? Because it don't matter who you throw back there, you know, if they're going one Mississippi and then they're ducking the edge rusher, I mean, it don't matter. You can put Tom Brady back there. He's getting sacked. He's running for his life. I mean, he's not going to be as efficient.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ty. That really is a great point, and it's not something we've really talked a whole lot about is if the offensive line can support whoever that starter is going to be. I mean, have they gotten better to give enough protection for the quarterback to actually throw the football and run the offense? Have they gotten better to allow Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter to take some of that stress off of the quarterback? That's a great point, not something we've really talked about a whole lot. Has the offensive line gotten better? We're going to find out.
And the last thing, guys, I do really think that we will have probably, I would say, the third best defense in the conference, maybe behind Bama and Georgia. And I really think, you know, people are going to have to put over 20 points. I think the first one to 21 in a lot of our game is going to win the ball game. Just simple fact, our defense is going to be stout. I really think we're going to have a solid defense with a good scheme and some good players. I'm hearing a lot of good things about the his name just slipped my mind, but the freshman linebacker from Auburn, I hear he's going to get some PT. He's going to be a head buster. I can't remember his name from Auburn High. But either way, man, I'm excited. We're weeks away, you know, and I really do trust Harsin. I tell you one thing. I feel like our whole entire team's going to be stronger and in better shape this year.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think they're going to be in better shape. Hey, we appreciate the call. We're going to address it right now.
Yeah, I agree that the defense is going to be good. I firmly believe that. But at the same time, with the way that college football has changed into such an offensive game, I think it's hard to say that the first to 21 is going to win a game right now. I mean, that 2019 Auburn defense is about as good as we've seen in recent history, and like they struggled at times to keep some teams below that 21 mark. I mean, you saw LSU, Florida, Mississippi State all score that much. You saw Oregon get to 21, and Oregon, that was a game, that was week one.
But I think
and you saw Alabama score 48 in that game.
Right.
I mean,
but I think what he's trying to say is the defense is going to keep Auburn in the game this year.
Yes.
I agree with that. Like we saw at the end of the year last year, the biggest question mark again, can Auburn's offense score points? Can they move the football, get into the red zone, and then when they get down there, can they score touchdowns and not field goals? I agree with what he's saying about the defense. Maybe not to that extent, but the defense is going to keep this team in games this year. Can the offense back them up? Because it's a two-sided game. You can't just have a good defense or just have a good offense. You've got to have both in the SEC.
Agreed, 100%. The defense is going to keep you in games, But, like, I don't think the defense can't do it by itself.
Exactly.
In 2019, the defense, at times,
they tried.
They did it by themselves.
They tried, absolutely.
But, so the offense has to give you something, and that's why everybody is so attentive and so caught up in this quarterback battle, because it's going to, like, if somebody can take the reins and run a sustained, capable offense, then you feel good about the season, and the ceiling is going to be higher than what the over-under in Vegas may say.
And the offense is going to be good. You have Tank Bigsby, who can be one of the best running backs in all of college football, running behind you. Then you have Jarquez Hunter, who can start at just about any SEC school that he wants to at the running back position. From what we're hearing, the wide receivers are going to be a heck of a lot better than they were last season. When it comes to the quarterback battle, you don't have to have the next Bryce Young. You don't have to have the next Joe Burrow at the quarterback position for Auburn to be successful this year. You just have to have a guy that can make the right plays and not turn the ball over and run the offense effectively. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Matt on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Let's head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Matt, thank you for holding. Welcome in.
Hey, Jacob and Carter, how are y'all doing?
We're doing great, man. How are you?
Shoot, yeah, man, doing good. Hey, I just wanted to call in and kind of talk a little bit about the quarterbacks and everything.
Yeah, so, what you got?
Well, you said, just actually right before the break, you said Auburn doesn't need a superstar. We need somebody who can come in, run the offense, and not turn the ball over.
That's right.
If you look at the stats and you have to project it out the full seasons and everything, I mean, T.J. Finley is that guy. He threw one pick in his few games that he played last year. I think that if you project that out, he throws a lot less interceptions than Zach Calzada did last year.
But I don't know if I have the confidence in T.J. Finley to run the offense, because he may not have been throwing a whole lot of interceptions, but he also wasn't scoring a whole lot of points, Matt.
You're right, he wasn't. But, I mean, the other two guys, he's got more time in the system than the other two guys do. On top of that, I mean, from what you kind of saw, and he wasn't the kind of guy, like Zach Calzada, he was out on social media, you know, every week putting out what he was doing. But from the brief stuff that I saw with T.J. Finley, I mean, the dude was in the film room. He was learning. He was getting after it in the facility like you need to be. I mean, I just feel like to start with, you've got to go with him. If he's looking the best in practice and then he's got the most experience in the system, I feel like until he proves you wrong, you kind of have to go with him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think right now, if you're rolling out there against Mercer, he's the guy. And I think it cannot be spoken enough about that the advantage that he had being in the system for another year, and you make a good point with that. But my concern is against good defenses in his career, he doesn't put up. Like, you need a quarterback that can go out and throw for more than 180 yards in a game in the SEC. And last year, he really didn't do that. I mean, he only had 90-something yards of offense against Alabama because he got sacked 7 times because he wasn't mobile. Part of that's due to injury. But I think there is a necessary part where you have to be able to move the ball. And I think part of the turnover thing is in the system at A&M, they push the ball down the field a little bit more, and that's part of it. But hey, Matt, I think we're getting close to a break here, but we're gonna have to thank you and for calling in. But I think we're gonna hit a break.
No problem, mate. Thank y'all.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. That was Matt here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Yeah, we're coming up against a break in just a second, but to address what Matt had to say, I think right now, yeah, T.J. Finley's the man because he's coming back from last year. He's got the most experience in the system. And from what we've learned so far in fall camp, He's been the best guy in practice. And so you've got to go with that guy. Unless Zach Calzada tonight in the scrimmage just comes out and just says, and he's been hiding this thing all along, that he's actually better than everybody else and can show it on the field in the scrimmage tonight or this afternoon. Unless that happens, I think right now you're looking at TJ Finley to be your starter against Mercer. We don't know that for sure. Again, today could be a complete 180, and Zach Calzada or even Robbie Ashford could come out and just be a superstar and show something they haven't shown all fall camp. But as of right now, I think you're looking, it's going towards TJ Finley. But to Matt's point, you know, I talked about not needing a superstar at the quarterback position. I stand by that. You don't have to have the next Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback for Auburn to be successful this year. You need a guy that can run the offense, score some points, and not turn the ball over. If you can have those three things, there's enough talent around this team to where you can win some football games. And the schedule piles up to where you can win some football games with solid quarterback play. Smart quarterback play. Remember the quarterbacks that Alabama used to have when they were winning national championships in the early 2010s? Those quarterbacks weren't great, but they were smart, they ran the offense, and they didn't turn the ball over. Hour number one officially in the books. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. Stay tuned.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Hope you're all doing well on this overcast Friday afternoon. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you in the studio here on this Friday afternoon. McKenzie over on the controls awaiting your phone call, running the board. If you missed any of our number one, it was a great one. 334-321-1390 is the number to call in. But if you missed any of our number one, be sure and go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded immediately following today's show. So make sure you go and find that. Hour number one officially in the books. Hour number two underway here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to us. We had lots of great phone calls about the quarterbacks in the first hour. We'd love to hear from you on your thoughts on this entire quarterback situation for Auburn here in hour number two, 334-321-1390. Carter, we are 15 days away from Auburn football getting started. The scrimmage is tonight, and as we get into making headlines here on Friday, August 19th, 2022, the second scrimmage of the fall is this afternoon for Auburn. It should be starting right about now for the Tigers. What are we looking for from the quarterbacks today in this scrimmage?
You know, I think we're looking for clarity. I think that's the biggest thing is can Zach Calzada climb back into this quarterback race, climb back to the top? Can Robbie Ashford do something that pulls him even or even ahead of TJ Finley, or does TJ Finley extend this lead that we've heard about? And can we finally say that we generally have a good feel for who is going to take that first snap against Mercer? So I think clarity is the biggest thing that everybody is looking for with this scrimmage today.
Well, there's no doubt that coming out of the news coming out of fall practice so far has been TJ Finley is quarterback one as of right now. If tomorrow was game one versus Mercer, I'm pretty confident that TJ Finley walks out there on the field with the first team offense. That does not mean that he's going to be the starter for the entire season. That's one thing that we have tried to tell people and let them know is the good thing about Auburn's schedule, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, right? We don't have, I mean, look, we're not really looking forward to the Mercer and San Jose State game, let's just be honest with the opponent-wise, but now that we have a quarterback battle, we have something to look forward to. Who is going to be that starter? And just because they start the Mercer game doesn't mean they're going to start the San Jose State game, and that doesn't mean that person's going to start the Penn State game. You've got that two-week buffer to try and figure out who is going to be the starting quarterback for Auburn come this fall. But one thing I think we can both agree on, whoever starts week three against Penn State, that's going to be your guy.
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, I think within reason, I think that'll be the first true test for these quarterbacks. The first, hey, you're going up against a solid Power 5 opponent with athletes that'll be similar to what you see on any given weekend in the SEC. So I think whoever comes out of that Penn State game is your guy. I think that there is room for somebody to look good enough again when you have a better athlete at every position against Mercer and against San Jose State, and then go into the Penn State game and struggle. And I think there is room for that. But generally, I would agree with you that barring a just total wheels fall off type of performance against Penn State, whoever takes that snap is your guy for the remaining 9 games of the season.
I think I can speak for almost every Auburn fan that's listening right now, and even the ones that are not listening. If we are going into the Penn State game and we still don't know who the true definite starter at QB1 is, this fan base is going to be losing their minds, concerned, scared, worried, and the confidence level in the offense, the confidence level in the program, and the confidence level in Brian Harsin will be at an all-time low if we're going into the Penn State game and there is no definite starter at Auburn for quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that you've seen in the past when Auburn doesn't know who their starting quarterback is, they've had trouble having sustained success over the course of a season. I think you've seen several years where you've seen 3 guys or 4 guys out there at quarterback, and Clemson, those seasons don't go well. Like 2012, I mean, you ran through every scholarship quarterback on the roster, and you ended up with Jonathan Wallace to end the year, and he's, with all due respect to Jonathan Wallace, he wasn't a Power 5 quarterback, and that's why you saw him move to receiver. Now, he was great for all. He was a great Auburn man, and he was at least a stabilizing force in the back end of that year because you knew what you were going to get out of him. But you need to know who the guy is, and the team needs to know. And more importantly than the fans, the team needs to know this is the guy we're rolling with, so they can get behind him, they can have faith in him, and that's when your team believes in the guy who's taking the snap at quarterback. Then that's when your team's going to play its best football.
And that's why I've said I want the starter to be named right now. I mean, as soon as possible, give us the starter. Give your team the starting quarterback. Even if the coach is having a little bit of doubts, it's like, well, he may not be the guy, but he's the guy right now. You know you have that two-week buffer. You know that you do have a little bit of time to fix that. But I think it is good for the team to play with their starting quarterback going into the first game of the season rather than 2 or 3 guys splitting the first team reps and the team not having the enough chemistry with their first guy to be comfortable going into the season. Look, the more that this goes on and the longer that this goes on, this quarterback battle for Auburn, the more worried I get sitting here in this chair, the more concerned I get going towards the season. We're 15 days away. We're 2 weeks away from the season. And look, if you're a betting man, you have no idea where to put your money right now. It legitimately could be all 3 quarterbacks for Auburn.
Absolutely. And that's the story that we keep hearing. And I think it's worth looking back at one of our callers earlier that said that there's also not room for a situation where you maybe play a guy who has more upside long term to prepare for 2023, because there's no guarantee that this staff can't look anybody on this team in the eye and say that 2023 is a guarantee for them.
If you play for 2023, you may as well just – I said this the other day. If you're playing for 2023, if you're Brian Hartson, you may as well put the house up for sale and start packing the bags now, because that's going to be a disaster for Auburn. What do you guys think? 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. What's your thoughts on this whole quarterback battle with a major scrimmage coming up this afternoon for Auburn football as we move on and making headlines here on Friday, August 19th, 2022? Auburn basketball, they released and finalized their non-conference schedule for this upcoming 2022 season. They were finalizing a couple of dates and times. That is now finalized. There's some big-time matchups on Auburn basketball's non-conference schedule, including two trips out west to Washington and USC.
Yeah, no, I think those are the ones that jump out to you for sure. And then the game in Atlanta against Memphis. Those three jump off the page when you look at this non-con schedule. I think George Mason in the opener on November 7th could be a little interesting, because, you know, George Mason does have a little bit of history as a basketball program, as they were that they had that deep Cinderella run about 15 years ago. But I don't think I'm a little underwhelmed at the Cancun Challenge, to be honest.
Yeah, agree with that.
After a few years in a row of playing really high level these holiday break tournament type things, the field in that one,
you got Bradley, Northwestern, or Liberty. Northwestern, that's your boys up there.
Yeah, with all due respect to the other school that I have a degree from, the basketball has not been their forte. They've pretty up and down in football, and then it's like softball and a couple other sports that they're really good at. Basketball, it's been tough sledding for a while. I think they've made it to one NCAA tournament as a program ever.
So, oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
And that was in like 2017.
Ooh.
So, no, it's not. The Cancun Challenge field is underwhelming, to say the least, in my mind.
Right, but looking at some of the other games across the schedule, you have St. Louis, a game that Auburn has played before. You have Colgate, a team that has made the NCAA tournament numerous times in the past 5 or 10 years. Again, you talk about the Memphis game in Atlanta. I don't think Memphis as a basketball program is where people thought they would be with Penny Hardaway taking over as the head coach.
That's about where I thought they'd be. I thought it was a big risk to go from AAU coach to coach at a major program like Memphis.
Well, there's no doubt that the expectations were through the roof for Memphis. I don't think they've exceeded those yet. You have Georgia State, and then the trip out west. You play at Southern California in late December on the 18th on a Sunday, and then you play at Washington on December 21st on a Wednesday. Not that these are two super, super tough basketball games for Auburn or two major, you know, basketball powerhouses, but two road games on the complete other side of the country could cause problems for Auburn late December.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely worth talking about. That the travel is interesting there, but I mean, at least this team is well traveled, having just gone to Israel.
Right.
But I think that Washington's a team that always has talent and does not really like they produce first round basketball players at a clip that's amazing.
Well, the most recent would be Markel Fultz, right?
Well, I think they've had more since then.
Well, he's probably the biggest man that people would remember.
But for as much talent as they have, it doesn't translate to actual in season results.
Seems like they have like one good guy every year, right?
Yeah,
they have dude who's a stud, and then they're mid, right? I would say they're not out there winning. They're not out there winning NCAA tournament games, but they are a solid. They have some solid players.
Yes, and then USC is a very solid team. They aren't. I wouldn't say that they're a top 15 team year in year out. But when they had the Mobleys, they were a strong pair for them. And then both are now playing in the NBA. But the game that I can't wait for is January 28th. When Auburn goes on the road to West Virginia and plays good old Huggy Bear.
For the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Who doesn't love Bob Huggins? That man.
He's something, man. He's a Hall of Famer.
Going to try to press Auburn to death. And I think this year's team is better prepared to handle that, because you have more guys who can handle the ball. Last year, I think it would have been a really terrible matchup for Auburn.
Yeah, it would have been a tough road trip. Auburn to round out their non-conference schedule. Late January, they'll be in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. They hosted Oklahoma last year. They now traveled to West Virginia. But Auburn basketball finalized their non-conference schedule today. Some big games on that when Auburn basketball gets going. Moving on and making headlines here on Friday, August 19th. High school football is here. We were at Chambers Academy last night as Lee Scott Academy. Of course, I'm the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. Carter, you are my color guy for the Lee Scott Sports Network on AU100. We went to Chambers Academy last night, and the Warriors took care of business 33-0 against Chambers Academy, a game that they lost 41-3 last night. Our other sports network here at Auburn Network is the Auburn High School Sports Network. Their first game tonight against Hoover up in Montgomery. That'll be on Wings 94.3 at 7 o'clock. Pre-game will be at 6:30 on the home of Auburn High Sports on the Auburn High School Sports Network, Wings 94.3. That'll be tonight. So just a little update on that. Some other big games around the country, or around the state, excuse me, but those are our two games that we wanted to highlight. Lee Scott wins big last night at Chambers Academy, and Auburn High takes on Hoover tonight, 6:30 pregame on Wings 94.3. Moving on and making headlines, let's do some Braves conversation as last night they take care of business. They win the series against the Mets, but they do have some negative news coming out this morning. Ozuna arrested for a DUI this morning. Your takes on the Braves right now with everything going on?
Yeah, it's not good for Ozuna, guy who's been somewhat replaced in the lineup. All of a sudden, is looking expendable, and you don't need something like that to happen. But the Braves themselves, you really couldn't ask for a better series than what they just had against the Mets, because you win the first two, you tax that Mets bullpen, you almost get a win against Scherzer and the Mets in Game 3. Then you find a way to sneak away a win against DeGrom. Some great base running. You had a nice little hit and run with Michael Harris with Vaughn Grissom on first base, and he scores on a single to center field from first base, which was incredible to watch.
How impressive is that?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. And so now you go into the series with the Astros, another great team. Can you win two out of three? But what I have highlighted with this Braves Mets series is you tax this Mets pitching staff so much that they are about to have to play four games in 3 days against the Phillies, a team who is competitive and is fighting for their playoff lives as well. So maybe you set it up for the Phillies to win some games against the Mets, and you can further gain ground on the Mets.
And talking about the Braves coming out of a 3-4 series win against the Mets, they now host the Houston Astros, who have what? The second best record in all of baseball. They have three games at home against the Astros before going back out on the road. They'll take on the Pirates early next week at the Cardinals next weekend, and they'll finish out the month of August playing the Colorado Rockies. So some winnable games on the schedule for the Atlanta Braves. If they can take care of business this weekend against the Astros, they are in good business. That's it for making headlines. When we come back, question of the day around the Auburn quarterback battle. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More from the Friday edition of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Question of the day here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird, and Mackenzie over running the board, answering phone calls. Give her a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Question of the day to you is this. How long until we have a starting quarterback for Auburn University? When will Auburn name the starter at the quarterback position? Carter, what's your opinion on that?
You know, kind of what we've been saying. I think today is a extremely massive day for that announcement. And I think if things continue on the status quo, I think we will know by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week for sure. And I think that's going to be something that I just can't wait to hear what Keesaw says as he meets with the media here after the scrimmage at about 4:30, 5 o'clock. I can't wait to hear his take on this quarterback battle. We've heard a little bit from Harsin, but I feel like we haven't heard, since they've gotten into the scrimmage portion of fall camp, we haven't heard a lot from Keesaw on what's going on.
When do you think Auburn will have their starting quarterback named? We'd love to hear from you. Call in, be a part of the show, be on the line. 334-321-1390. In my opinion, I think it's going to be early next week. I'm thinking Tuesday is kind of the day that I've got in my head, maybe even Monday. Today's scrimmage, super, super important. We'll see what we are told from the offensive and defensive coordinators today for Auburn. Brian Harsin will speak, I believe, tomorrow. And then we'll see what they tell us, and we'll kind of go off of that. And then I'm thinking to start practice next week, we're going to have a starter name for Auburn. It could possibly be on Monday that Auburn has a starting quarterback named. That gives them a little less than 2 weeks. Well, I mean, it gives them 2 weeks of practice to have a starting quarterback running with the ones and a legitimate two running with the twos. But again, no matter who the starter is, I don't think they're going to play all four quarters against Mercer. You're going to see multiple quarterbacks. But I think by Monday or Tuesday early next week, Auburn will have announced the starting quarterback, no matter who it is, Calzada, Finley, or Robbie Ashford. One of those three will be named by early next week.
Yeah, I just hope that, like we've been saying, that we get clarity. That we, it's not, that that we know, have a better feel on this. That we know it, that it's either TJ Finley has significantly improved. That's what I want to hear if it continues to trend towards TJ Finley. And I think Eric Keesaw will probably get asked about that tonight when he meets with the media. I want to hear that, or I want to hear that the other two had a good day and are pulling even with TJ Finley in this competition.
To go along with that, that's for sure the thing that I don't want to come out of this scrimmage is, well, you know, I don't want the phrase of, well, nobody really pulled away. Nobody really impressed. You know, there was no real significant improvement from last scrimmage to this scrimmage. If we hear something like that, that is the time to be concerned. That is the time to be worried about this, because if nobody's making improvements week to week and nobody is separating themselves, then it's time to panic if you're Auburn, if you're Auburn fans, if you're Auburn team, Auburn media, whoever it is. If nothing has changed from last week to this week's scrimmage, then there's time to worry.
Yeah, I'll be frustrated if we don't get any actual like details today. If it's just like a typical I know he's not the coach here anymore, obviously, but a typical Gus Malzahn answer where it's like, well, like each guy did some good things, and that's about the extent of the details that you get. Because that was something that it just felt like it was a classic Gus Malzahn move, was just to say,
coach speak.
Everybody, yeah, exactly. Just like everybody did some good things. Like this guy did some good things. That guy did some good things. But you don't really get any details about, like, okay, like what exactly did they do? And when Harsin spoke with the media last, like he kind of was that way. He seemed a little more up on TJ and Robbie, but then he also said, I mean, Calzada had his touchdown, which we know about, but I want more details because it'll give that clarity that I'm asking for.
And I feel like the longer this goes, and the longer that that a starter is not named for Auburn at the quarterback position, the level of confidence in the fans in Brian Harsin and in this program and in this offense, it's just going to continue to drop until a starter is named. Now, no matter who you name as a starter, some of the fans are not going to be happy. Whether it's TJ, whether it's Zach, or whether it's Robbie Ashford, there's a group of fans that are not going to be happy with who you name as the starter. That's what you have to know going into this. Based off of what we've heard on the show, what we read on Twitter, what we've heard from fans here in the Auburn area, it seems like if TJ Finley is named the starter, the majority of the fans are not going to be happy because of what they saw last season. It seems like most of the fans want Calzada or even Ashford to be something new to be named as the starter. I just don't know. There's no way to please everybody, and I think that's one thing you have to remember here. But the longer that this goes on, the farther that the confidence is going to fall for Brian Harsin in this entire organization.
Yeah, it's the quicker that the clarity happens, the quicker that you almost put it out there and let the fan base deal with it, the better. I mean, you look at these other schools that, are naming starters. You saw Texas today, which was interesting there when they named Quinn Ewers their starter. Because
the Ohio State transfer.
All the information seemed to be pointing toward Hudson Card. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, that fan base is just, they're going to deal with the news, and they're going to settle in and be like, okay, this is our guy. And they're going to be able to figure out a way to rally around that guy. And I think that that's why there is value in getting that clarity and naming a starter as soon as possible.
334-321-1390, that's the number. Call in. We'd love to hear your opinion on the question of the day. How long until we have a starting quarterback for Auburn? Who do you want it to be? Who would you be the most confident in the starter for Auburn? 334-321-1390, that's the number to put you through to us. Call in. Be a part of the show. Be on the line. 334-321-1390. The scrimmage today has a lot riding on it, and it's been a couple of years since Auburn has had to deal with a quarterback battle because of Bo Nix. When he came in, he was the man, and then he's been the starter for the last couple of years, so this is something new, and again, I think something that is really good for us to remind people is this is the first time we are seeing Brian Harsin do a quarterback battle at Auburn. That's what we have to remember. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing, and a lot of the things he's doing behind closed doors and behind the scenes, we have no idea what his thought process is, what his entire process is in general of how he handles this. He knows people are watching. He knows people are listening. And he's playing that to his advantage, I would think. We're going to find out exactly how he runs this thing and if these quarterbacks truly have gotten better by the time the Mercer game rolls around.
Yeah, no, I kind of want to go back and just really dig deep into his time at Boise State and just be
and
like,
see if he had any quarterback battles there and how he did it.
Well, I know he absolutely did. I mean, he had some games where he started a guy and then turned to guys like Hank Bachmeier, and mm-hmm. and they all played pretty well. They all played at a pretty high level, but it's just it feels like we haven't been in this position in so long. Because the starter has always been, or in the past recent time, we've kind of known who the starter was going to be. It was Nick Marshall, then it was Jeremy Johnson, and then, I mean, obviously things shook up over the course of Jeremy Johnson's tenure. But even when you look at Bo Nix was in
Stidham.
A quarterback battle, and then he beat out Gatewood, and then he was the guy, and Stidham was the guy.
It's been a minute, and that's why I think Auburn fans are a little on the edge because they just don't know where this thing is going. Halfway through hour number two, we got 30 minutes left on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. More scrimmage talk when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. We've got 30 minutes here before we get out of here for the weekend, but big-time scrimmage today for Auburn football. We're waiting on the results, I guess, from that and what the coordinators have to say. We'll hear what Brian Harsin has to say about the scrimmage as well. But, Carter, let's talk about this scrimmage. And we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks. You can call and talk about them as well. 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to us. We'd love to hear from you and what you have to say about this quarterback battle. But besides the quarterbacks, Carter, and I'm sure most of these conversations will lead back to the quarterback situation, but besides the quarterbacks, what are you looking for in this second scrimmage, from the first scrimmage to the second scrimmage, as we're 15 days away from kickoff?
I mean, we briefly were like talking about it during the break. I want to know about the offensive line. I mean, because that's going to be vital to whoever wins the quarterback race. That's going to be vital to Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter and how good their season is. Like, we know that there's a ton of returning experience on the offensive line. They've been, I would say that they've been okay to solid at times. You have a lot of returning guys. You know that there's some questions about what's going on at center, who's going to start there. you start to hear this positive buzz about a guy like Killian Zaire, who's a year and a half out from ACL surgery. So, I mean, I would hope that he's finally 100% good to go. And it sounds like he's going to be your guy at left tackle. And then you start to hear this buzz about guys like Cam Stutz, these younger guys, Tate Johnson, Avery Jernigan, that have taken big steps. Can those guys push these older guys that are the vets that have been on this offensive line for 2-3 years, and can they push those guys to get better, or can they even surpass them and make this unit better on the whole than it was last year? That's what I'm looking forward to. There's been so much shuffling around that I just don't have a feel for who all is going to be nailed down in a starting spot other than Killian Zaire at left tackle and Keandre Jones at right guard.
Well, I'm glad we had a caller earlier bring up the offensive line. I apologize. I can't remember which exactly one it was, but he talked about the offensive line, and he said that they're not getting a whole lot of attention like they used to because of the quarterback battle taking over all of the media attention, taking over all of the fan attention, but that's still a concern, right? The offensive line is still a worry. Because before we thought there was a quarterback battle, that was the question, was the receivers and the offensive line. Can the wide receivers produce, and can they get open? Can they catch the football? Can they actually be a threat in the passing game? And then it came down to the offensive line. We know that there's experience in the room. We know that they have the talent to do it. Can they be a successful offensive line in the SEC? That's what the big question is. And so you want to see that improvement in this fall practice. And coming out of the scrimmage this afternoon, you want to hear that, yeah, the offensive line, they dealt with the defensive line, because we know Auburn has a really good defensive line. It's going to be the best position group on the defensive side of the football for Auburn this year. Can the offensive line battle with them in practice and give whoever the quarterback's going to be, give him time to run the offense, and not just the quarterbacks? Can they create the holes for the best running back in the SEC and Tank Bigsby? Can they create the holes for one of the better running backs in the SEC, Jarquez Hunter? Those are all things that you have to look at with the offensive line. It is now or never for this offensive line. They have had their time. They've had their chances. It is now or never for this group to be successful. That's what I'm looking for when it comes to the offensive line coming out of the scrimmage today in about 2 weeks when Auburn plays Mercer.
No, absolutely. And I think that when you look at the skill position, other positions on the offense, the running back talent is there, especially in those first two. And then as you start to hear more and more about Damari Austin, it's the receivers seem to be having a good fall camp, or at least a much better fall camp than last year. I mean, last year, a year ago, Brian Harsin, every time he got in front of a mic, was challenging the receiver group because they weren't meeting the standard. They weren't catching the ball. They weren't doing their job correctly. This year, it feels different. The overall talent in the room may not be as high as it should be based off star rankings in the past, but this unit under Ike Hilliard, it feels like it's in a better spot to exceed expectations for the first time in a while. Because, I mean, as much as you want to talk about guys like Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz, it never felt like to me, and maybe I put unfair expectations on them, it never felt like they really reached the level that I thought they had in them at Auburn. Part of that may be scheme. Part of that's quarterback play. Part of that is on them as receivers. But this year, it feels like this unit has a chance to exceed the expectations. You have Camden Brown, a guy who wasn't all that highly rated coming out of high school, a guy who was going to go to Pitt until he got the offer from Auburn late. And now he's here, and now all you hear about is how he's exceeding expectations. Corey Moore has a chance to be a number one receiver in the SEC and step up. Shed Jackson is back, and he's playing well. You have Javarius Johnson playing well. You have Jay Fair, another freshman, with a chance to get on the field. Like, that unit is going to be really intriguing. And if they can come together, then it's you know what the tight ends are. John Samuel Schenker's back. Tyler Fromm is back. You have Luke Deal back. I mean, everybody is back in that room. You still have Landon King, who can play a little anywhere on the offense, really, whether it be receiver or tight end. It's all going to come down to what the offensive line is. and what the quarterback is. And that's the question going into the scrimmage, is who's your starting five on the offensive line and who's your quarterback?
Coming into fall, and really even in the spring, it was, what are the wide receivers going to look like? It was, what are they going to do? Who's going to be that guy in the wide receiver room? Can they get open? Can they catch the football? Those were the questions about this wide receiver room. But now, as fall camp has gone on, that giant question mark that was hovering over their heads,
you feel better about it,
has gotten smaller. You do feel better about it. It has gotten smaller as fall camp has gone on. And I think there are big, big props to Ike Hilliard, the wide receivers coach, who has just been fantastic. You watch him run drills and you watch him coach these wide receivers. He's a great guy, and they have nothing but good things to say to him and about him because of his experience.
I think he's the best receivers coach Auburn has had in years.
A long time.
And I don't think it's really – and we haven't even seen that unit – on the field yet, but from everything you hear about the progression, the improvement, and maybe it's the fact that he has so much NFL experience that it's easier for the guys to buy in. But like, everything you hear is he's unbelievable as a position coach, and what I want to see is a guy who has even admitted that he maybe wasn't as focused in year two. I want to see a guy like Xavien Capers, who looked a lot like freshman year Seth Williams in his first year, and then took a step backwards last year, really couldn't find his way on the field. With his size and his skill level, he should be on the field. And that's somebody that if you were asking me, somebody that I want to see challenged in this scrimmage today, that's somebody that like I want to see. Because if he steps up, then you have an opportunity with the size in that receivers room. There's scenarios where you can run out Landon King, Camden Brown, and Xavien Capers and be 6'3" or taller across the board, and you can have a bunch of red zone threats because you already have Shinker and the tight ends in there too.
And we're talking about the wide receivers, and just think about this. We've talked about five or six different guys, and we haven't even hit on all of them that have a chance to make an impact on the field this fall for Auburn in the wide receiver room. The talent is not the issue. Talent is not the question whatsoever. Can they take that next step up and be effective and be impactful when they're on the field? I think this year is going to be a huge year for the wide receivers, and that starts today with the scrimmage. Can Auburn, with the wide receivers, help out whoever that starting quarterback is going to be? I don't think the wide receivers are going to be, I hate to use this word, but a liability, because I don't think they're going to be that this year. I think you can trust the wide receivers this year. You can trust them to get open, catch the football, and make a play after the catch. Just depends on who's throwing them the football.
Yeah, I mean, last year you were, I mean, at times it felt 50-50 if you were throwing a ball to a wide receiver on the team on if he was going to catch the ball or not. I mean, because the best receiver in that unit last year was Kobe Hudson, and he had shaky hands at best. Demetrius Robinson, shaky hands at best. I want to see guys who will go get the ball, will secure the ball, and not turn up field too early or anything. But so I'm going to keep an eye on that with this scrimmage. And then I like the on defense on the other side of the ball.
I was going to ask you about the defense.
I just have this fear about depth at edge and at linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate fear.
I'm fine with the middle of the D line. I think that DB's group is sneaky, way deeper than we're giving them credit for. I think especially at corner, because you bring back Pritchett, you bring back Jalen Simpson, two guys who I think are positioned to take their game to the next level. Well, you also have Keontae Scott. You also have DJ James. You also have JD Rim.
So what position group are you worried about when it comes to depth?
Past those first, specifically two linebackers with Cam Riley and Owen Papo, and it concerns me because Owen Papo's had injury history, and then Wesley Steiner, I'll include him in that group. Past those three, you have guys like Eugene Asante who have some experience, but I don't know that you don't hear that much about the linebackers outside those three. And that concerns me with the injury history that Owen Papo has had. He's struggled to stay healthy. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to have an unbelievable year just because he's called the freak for a reason. He's that good athletically.
Yeah.
I want to feel better about the depth at linebacker and then the depth at edge, because you only have like five guys there.
That's the big one for me, is edge position. I mean, it's so bad to say it this way, but if anybody goes down in that edge room,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Especially if it's the first two guys.
Yeah, the first two guys, if either one of them, God forbid, if they do go down with injury, Auburn's going to be, they're going to be in trouble at the edge position until somebody is able to develop and step up and be good, which that may be the case. We just don't fully know it yet, but I don't want an injury to be the reason that we find out if those guys are ready or not. You want them all to stay healthy and develop behind those guys and get the experience when they can. But coming out of the scrimmage today, look, I think there's not too many big-time position battles left besides the quarterback position. Sure, you're trying to lock down your offensive line. Sure, you're trying to lock down who your go-to receivers are. I think the defensive side of the football, you're pretty much set in stone. Mm-hmm. You know you've got some studs. You just want to make sure that they're going to do their job and that the defense is going to be elite. And then really the question marks are on the offensive side of the football. What do you want to see in here coming out of the scrimmage today? 334-321-1390. That's what we're talking about with Auburn in their scrimmage this afternoon. The big question is the quarterbacks. And who is it going to be that takes that next step today? Do any of them take that next step today? What would concern you coming out of the scrimmage? Any of that, anything you want to talk about, 334-321-1390. Again, for me, kind of looping back to the quarterbacks, the one thing that would concern me coming out of the scrimmage today is if none of the quarterbacks take that next step, and if nobody has progressed and this is still a three-man race after today, that is what would concern me the most. It wouldn't be if it's TJ Finley who took the reps or took that step. It wouldn't be if it was Calzada. It wouldn't be if it was Ashford. If any of them make any progress, I'm happy. My concern is going to be if none of them take that next step, and we're still in a three-man race with 14 days to go.
My other question to you is, what position do you think Jeremiah Wright's playing today?
Oh, man. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
That's going to become my favorite running joke about Auburn football, is which side of the ball is Jeremiah Wright playing today?
I think when they go out on the field, they take a quarter with them and they just flip it, and you got to call it in the air and see where he's going
to
be.
He's too big and strong not to be on the field.
You're 100% right on that. He's too big and too good to not be on the field. It may be, honestly, it may just be like a game-by-game thing. It's like, hey, you're on the offensive side this week. Sorry, bro. But he's gone back and forth on the field, and he's also gone back and forth in what he said, because he said he enjoyed the defensive side, but he feels more comfortable on the offensive side. So I don't know. We're going to have to find out where he goes. But again, coming out of the scrimmage today, the one thing that would concern me is if the quarterbacks don't make any progress. If nobody takes that next step, if nobody emerges as the guy, that is what is going to worry me. We're going to find out soon enough what the coaches have to say, what the players have to say coming out of the scrimmage. When do you think a starter will be named? We talked about that a little bit also. I think it'll be early next week. I hope it's early next week. We're going to find out. Let's take our final break here in hour number two. We'll come back, have final take here on this Friday afternoon on the Friday edition of On the Line.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika sports leader. We've got about five more minutes before we get out of here. Make sure you stay tuned. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck right here on ESPN 106.7. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Hopefully they can give you some updates about the scrimmage that will be probably wrapping up during their show. And then the coordinators for Auburn will be speaking to the media. So not sure if maybe one of them is going to be there or they're going to have somebody giving them some information. Not too sure how they're going to do that, but hopefully they are able to give you some information from the scrimmage for Auburn University. So make sure you stay tuned. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck right here on ESPN 106.7. Also, reminder, at 6:30, tune over to Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn Opelika area. You can catch Auburn High versus Hoover from Montgomery. It'll be Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton on the call over on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3. So make sure you tune in for that. Auburn High versus Hoover, big time matchup on high school football tonight as they get started. Auburn High does in game one versus Hoover. Again, Start time at 6:30, kickoff at 7 over on Wings 94.3, our sister station here at Auburn Network. You don't want to miss it. Scott and Jack and Rob, they all do a fantastic job. Auburn High is supposed to be pretty good this year. They got some talent, so playing the big-time Hoover up in Montgomery at the Crampton Bowls. So 6:30 broadcast time, 7 o'clock kick over on Wings 94.3. Well, we got a couple of more minutes here before we get out of here for the weekend. Carter, final take for the scrimmage today, just on this quarterback situation, on the scrimmage this afternoon, your final take on just the entire situation and where Auburn football stands right now coming into this scrimmage.
All right, so I think I'm just going to go with a prediction. I think back against the wall in this scrimmage, Zach Calzada has his best practice at Auburn. I think he, because as we have seen by Mark Murphy on 247 say, the emphasis of the practice is on third and longs, which you and I talked about. That screams, quarterbacks, go separate yourselves. Show us what you're made of.
Go win the job.
And I think, as we've seen in big spots over his career, when Zach Calzada is backed into a corner, he can play his best ball. And he did it. He did it against Alabama. He's done it in some big spots already. I think he has his best practice in this scrimmage that he has had at Auburn.
Do we have a QB1 by Monday?
I'm gonna say no, because I think going on my own take here, I think that he's gonna make it murky enough that we don't know by Monday.
Interesting. Well. My final take is, it's something I've sort of talked about already, but I have a weird, weird, weird feeling, and I hope this is not the case, but I have a feeling that we're not going to get the news we want coming out of this quarterback battle, coming out of the scrimmage today. I have the feeling, and my final take is, I don't think anybody's going to separate themselves. I think this quarterback battle is going to stay confusing. I think it's going to stay worrisome, and I think we're going to be talking next week until a quarterback is named. The concern and the worry around this Auburn football program with the quarterback battle will continue to rise, because the longer it goes, the more worried the fan base is going to get. Honestly, the more worried I'm going to get, and I understand your point, and I could see where that could happen, where Zach Calzada does separate himself. But I'm just not confident that he can do that right now. My final take is, when we come back here on Monday, we're all going to be as confused on Monday as we are right now. We're not going to have a starter. I think maybe by Tuesday or Wednesday we could, maybe. But I just have a weird, weird feeling that the scrimmage isn't going to go the way that people think it's going to go. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, folks. I want a starting quarterback just as much as you do. I've talked about it. I want him to be named as soon as possible. But I just don't know if this scrimmage is going to go as well as we think it does. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe. I mean, I just really, with the way that it's being discussed, that this could be Calzada's last gasp, almost. I just think that he, to steal a term that we've been using all week, I think he does have a little bit of that dog mentality in him, and I don't see him going down without a fight. And it would be, regardless of if he takes the first snap at Mercer, it would be incredibly disappointing to me if he goes down without a fight, because you brought him in here to compete.
It's now or never. We're going to find out how the scrimmage goes and who's going to win this quarterback battle. Tune in on Monday. We'll have everything you need to know from the scrimmage and a whole lot more. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.